from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. The Leadership Hour.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Ihsan Higgins here with the Leadership Hour. And a very warm welcome to the listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And also to those people that are not familiar with the Leadership Hour. Welcome to you all. So tonight we have two very interesting guests with a very interesting topic. And tonight we're going to talk about a topic that, you know, a lot of people don't really want to talk about, you know, on air, especially Muslim radio station, and they speak. And the topic tonight is the klopsa, the minstrels. And people don't particularly like the idea, you know, that, and I've always wondered why people are avoiding, you know, the whole concept of a klopsa. And for me, the klopsa is a celebration of protest. It's been the means of protest against colonialism. It's the protest against slavery. And that tradition still carries on today. And tonight we have in studio, we have two very special guests, two guests that are very familiar with the genre of klopsa, minstrels. I mean, there's a few other names people give for it. But we have none other than the two guests tonight. The first guest is Mr. Kader Miller. Assalamu alaikum, Kader.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ihsan, and our listeners.
Shukran for coming, Kader. I know you're one of those people that's very involved with communities, but you're always camera shy. And you are radio shy, and I was very surprised when I called you this morning and you immediately agreed to be on the show, so shukran for that.
It's different when someone calls you, but when a lawyer calls you, you say yes.
I didn't call you in that capacity, Kader. Okay. And then the other gentleman, you know, very talented gentleman that it's part of the minstrel carnival, but more importantly, he's also a songwriter, and he teaches, you know, groups of young people and minstrels to sing. None other than Mr. Ziyad Hatta. Assalamu alaikum, Ziyad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. Ihsan, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. So Ziyad and Kader, you know, so it's such a pleasure having both of you on the show. You have both shown excellent leadership, you know, in marshalling, you know, young people especially, you know, to get them off the streets, to get them out of the clutches of the drug merchants, out of the clutches of the gangs. And they indulge in this musical tradition, this tradition of the minstrels, which, and it comes with such a rich history, a rich heritage, that, you know, of course, it's been there since the time of slavery. Of course, when we, all the listeners will know that the minstrels was born out of the fact that the masters, the slave masters, wanted to be entertained. And, of course, on the Tweede Nuwe Jaar, there was a traditional march where people imitated the bosses, and that's why the minstrels still have a suit on, made of satin, you know, mimicking the look of the master. So for me, yes, it's a celebration of protest. So I'm going to start off with Kader. Kader, what motivates you? You're an entrepreneur, you're a community leader. I met you through your leadership in the drumline, and many years ago, I met you through the leadership of your of that you were part of the Youth Academy. So, what drives you? I mean, after all these years, to still be part of the klopsa?
Shukran for that, Ihsan. I think very important for me is that I come from the very old school. I was taught by the old school. And for that reason, I will always, whatever the old school taught me, that is what I will most probably die for, and that is what I will teach the youth of tomorrow. Teach them of colonialism, teach them of the apartheid days, teach them why we have the celebration of Tweede Nuwejaar. So the Tweede Nuwejaar to me is something that I can never see myself or the future generation or the people that I work with ever tells me that there's no such thing as Tweede Nuwejaar. Tweede Nuwejaar will always remain with me as Tweede Nuwejaar, because that is why we, if ever we should take away the word or the day of Tweede Nuwejaar, it's like saying apartheid never happened, like slaves were never there. And that is what people want us to forget, and that I cannot stand for. I will never stand for that. I will always fight for that Tweede Nuwejaar, the name Tweede Nuwejaar. We are the custodians of the Tweede Nuwejaar, and it is my duty to educate the youth of tomorrow about Tweede Nuwejaar. Now, for me to be part of this celebration of Tweede Nuwejaar, it is something that I want to do every year. I never want to miss it. I never want to skip it. I'll skip any other competition, but on Tweede Nuwejaar, that's the day I invite my friends and the youth, and I teach them and I let them know why we're having this day. And up till today, I can say I think I have done my duty, and I will continue to do my duty to enjoy this Tweede Nuwejaar that the old people taught me how it must be done, how you play this game, how it must be played, and the disciplines of it. That to me is important, and not just the discipline, but the fun part of it. And for me to don the uniform and to don my satin uniform and to stand in Hanover Street, it takes me back how it must have been when the old people did this, when it was the days of the slavery. How I try to think and I try to imagine what it was like for them when they donned their satin, when they painted their faces. There's so much to it for me when I think about that. And when we come down Hanover Street, I get that feeling that District 6 is alive, the Seven Steps is alive. That is the feeling I get when I come down Hanover Street. When I hit Darling Street and I get to the City Hall, that for me is like, this is the ultimate. And then for me to come out of Darling Street and come into Adderley Street and take Whale Street, and soos ek vir altyd mense, vir mense sê, as jy nie by 'n sekere plek is op Tweede Nuwejaar voordat jy oorgaan Buitengrasstraatie, dan het jy nie jou gats gekry nie. En jou gats is by Buitengrasstraat, Roosstraat toe. As jy nie daar is voor Magriepie, dan het jy dit nie gekry nie. So ek maak nou sieke, ek is daar voor Magriep, want vir sieke, ek moet my Tweede Nuwejaar kry. Okay. En die laaste stikkie, dat is die Tweede Nuwejaar stikkie.
Okay, Fikar, this is going to contextualize with the listeners a little bit about Tweede Nuwejaar and why it was maybe on the 4th of New Year this year. I mean, of course, I'm not privy to those discussions, but many years ago, it was agreed that if Juma falls on a Friday, I'm sorry, on the Tweede Nuwejaar, if Juma falls on the Tweede Nuwejaar, then there will be a deferment to the next day. It will be Tweede Nuwejaar, based on the fact that Juma was then also, if it fell on a Sunday, which was church,
yes,
that it will fall on the next day. Yeah. So there was that religious imperative that was catered for at the time.
Yes.
I don't know on what basis it is now on the Tweede Nuwejaar, because I mean I'm not sure if it fell on Thursday.
Yeah.
Was the
Tweede Nuwejaar fell on the Thursday?
So there would have been no reason then for it to have been on the 4th as opposed to the 2nd.
No, because celebration starts from 10 o'clock in the morning until 10 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, after.
Oh, I see. So that was the imperative Maghrib after Maghrib.
Yom al-Jumu'ah, and
so
the organizers felt that it would be better.
No, and I think we obviously applaud them for that. You know that it didn't fall within the waqt of Jumu'ah, and it didn't fall within the waqt of. Well, of course, it wasn't near to the Sunday, but in any case, that just. So I think that's obviously being a bit facetious about the Hajj, what you're saying is there must be this concert. There was always that concerted effort to get to Royal Street before Maghrib.
That's the highlight. That's
we always
highlight.
See, you know, the troops stop what they're doing when it is any waqt, whether it is Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, or Isha.
I must say, Ihsan, I have very high respect for minstrels. When they walk on this day, they stop. There are three times when they stop, and they all stop. And that is when they get to the Asr, the Maghrib, and Isha. They will stop wherever they are. And I must say to the minstrels, whether the Christian people understand that, everyone understands that now we stop because now the guys are going to mosque. And no one will strike that ban until the guys come back from mosque. And then we will go on again.
Kada, just before we get to Siyad, and I know he's rearing to go, and prepare a little marag for the end of it. But now, Kada, why is it no longer called the Tweede Nuwejaar March? Why is it now called the Cape Town March? I mean, surely there's a problem with that.
Isanians, that's a problem to me. I, Kada Miller, am speaking for Kada Miller. And I'm speaking for no other organization. I'm speaking because I am a custodian of the minstrels. We are the custodians, and we are the custodians of the Tweede Nuwejaar. We must protect the Tweede Nuwejaar from our forefathers. That is what they fought for, the Tweede Nuwejaar. I don't know what is a Cape Town street parade. I cannot accept it. I won't accept it because I believe in the Tweede Nuwejaar Joel. But I also understand that if you have an organization, you can call it what you want to. If there's another organization, you can call it what you want to. But the Tweede Nuwejaar will always be a Tweede Nuwejaar. If you make an application to say, my name is good, this is going to be the street parade or the whatever, New Year parade, that is your application that you make to the city. But to us, the custodians,
I think therein lies the problem. That is, and Aziara, maybe you want to come in here on this one. That for more than 100 years, it has been known. I mean, the slavery was abolished in 1838. So, of course, one could safely assume that tradition, maybe not in its current form, but definitely it was a certain tradition since 1838, or even before that, that there was a thing called Tweede Nuwejaar. And surely, constitutionally, people have the right to exercise culture.
Yes.
And I don't want to go too deep into the law now, but if somebody then makes an application on Tweede Nuwejaar, to say this is the event, surely one must follow the format that has been followed for centuries, as opposed to coming up with their own little name.
Yeah, 100%.
So anyway, Ziad, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, like Mr. Miller also mentioned, so I'm also representing myself and not any.
No, it's fine. We're not representing. In fact, I wanted to avoid having organizations on here because, of course, as we all know, we've seen it in the newspapers. There's the tensions that's out there. So, I mean, that's why I've got people that are kind of independent, you know, part of the culture, but independent. So you don't have to preface it.
No, so the views is purely myself.
Yeah.
The views is coming out of my own. And yes, I agree that we have to keep our heritage, and we are the custodians of this culture, not the city, not any sponsors out there. We are the custodians. Now, if you are the custodian of anything, you then go to whoever's going to be the sponsors and whoever's going to fund the event, and you then dictate to them and tell them this is what it needs to be called. So, in my view, Sometimes exactly what has happened last year with the whole Bull Cup issue, that sometimes our people itself are the reasons for things happening. And our people tend to sell our culture out, and our people tend to sell our communities out by with the whole Bull Cup issue that was happening. The unfortunate, it was a sad thing, but it was also merely based on, do we allow, for instance, now the Klopse cannot walk in Bull Cup anymore. Back marches is not
okay. So I think you must just define that, because I mean, of course, they have march on Vier de Nieuwe, yeah.
Yeah, on Vier de Nieuwe, 4th of January.
Let's keep it there. Like on Vier de Nieuwe, yeah, they went up, put the book up. But what you're talking about is when they return from the stadiums.
Yeah, so it has been tradition
and
for years.
And it's called back marches.
Back marches and.
Tafels.
The tafels or yeah. The entertaining your community. So as long as I can remember, whenever we came from the old Greenpoint track, the old Greenpoint stadium, or when we came from the Athlon stadium, all the choirs, all the troops would go through to Bull Cup, and we would come down Kapini Street into Whale Street and into Rose Street. And it was also a source of income for many, because they would go open up their stalls, their stands, their food stands and all those things, because thousands of people would actually come through to Bull Cup because they didn't maybe make it to be at the stadium, inside of the stadium, because what happens inside the stadium is not any bands or any jawling that's happening in there. It's mostly singing items or marching items, and some people are not, they're not interested in that. They just want to hear the different bands.
But there is a club schedule at the stadium, from what I understand.
Only on the 1st of January.
Yes, okay.
Depending on obviously what what board. So
okay.
On the 1st of January, that's a club schedule. So your stadium is normally packed on those days, because both sections plays. However, the back marches, I don't think there was anything wrong in it. I mean, if the city really wanted to, they would allow it and try to regulate it in a way, and ask the people and ask the community of Bull Cup, because there is a community out there that they have their own security.
I want to examine that a little bit more with regard to back marches. That, like I said, that's part of the tradition. And just before we go for ad breaks, I just want to read this so that the listeners can think about this. The Constitution, in terms of Section 30 of the South African Constitution, it confers on every person the right to use the language and to participate in the cultural life of their choice, but only to the extent consistent with the Bill of Rights. Okay, so I think you spot on that people have the right to exercise their culture. People have the right to like Kade said, with the Tweed and Ivea march, and people have the right to back marches. But we're going to examine that a little bit more, because the point is, I believe at this point in time, from what I see in the media, that this entire culture is under threat. And what is really at threat is that celebration of protest. We're going to go for a quick ad break. When we come back, we're going to take it further.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. The Leadership Hour.
And we are back with the Leadership Hour, and as you see, the tight stop of your Vanag aan, and we're obviously marching very, very steadily towards Maghrib, and we hardly got to the meat of this program. We have Kade Miller, and we have Ziyad, and we're talking about the protest, the Klopse, as a celebration of protest. So Ziyad Hattas is here with us. Kade Miller is with us. So Ziyad, coming back to the issue of this onslaught against this culture that's guaranteed by the Constitution, where do you see this culture going? Are we going to lose it? Is it something that's in danger? Is there a stress point somewhere?
Son, you know, I think it's not only the minstrel culture that is at danger. The culture of Cape Town when we speak about Malay choirs, the Christmas bands, as well as the minstrels. All these three cultures is currently in danger.
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about... I'm probably going to get the Christmas choirs, and I'm going to get the Malay choirs, because obviously a good example would be that suddenly Oya An is now on the 30th and not 31st anymore.
Well, I was in that meeting with the city.
No, but
all pleading to them to make it the 31st.
Yeah, but all that, when we meet up with the Cape Malay Choir Board, I would like you to come here and we will discuss it. But tonight I just wanted to focus on the minstrels.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it very narrow tonight because we don't have a lot of time. But Ziad, besides all the problems that we have with the city and the problems we have with bylaws, etc., you actually wrote something very, very special, you know, as part of your contribution to social cohesion.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about this song that you wrote?
Okay, so last year, there was the sad happenings in and around of Cape Town and in the Western Cape of women and children being abused. Gender-based violence happening all around us. And when we heard about the young ladies being raped and being killed, it's something that was sad, because I am a brother to five sisters. I am a father to a daughter. I'm a son to two mothers. And what if that had to be my mother? Or what if that had to be my wife? I only got one wife. But what if that had to be her? What if that had to be my daughter? And one thing too, when you look deep into it, and I felt that, you know, with the minstrels and the coons, our people, whatever people call us, when we are singing songs, music is a medium.
I think we must avoid the term coon.
Okay.
Because I think it's got a very negative connotation, and it's said from a kind of a ivory tower. And I mean, if you look at... But what I'm saying is, let's stick to the two words that is kind of acceptable, which is klopse or minstrels.
Minstrels. So okay. When people look at minstrels and people come to that stadium, for those that come to the stadium and they listen to the songs, I felt that they need to leave with a message.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, with the gentrification thing happening in Boerkop, the song that I wrote last year, the Boerkop song, which was done by the minstrels as well as by Primrose Choir, it sent a message out, and people were listening to that song. Up until today, people are still listening to that song. So that was a form of protest.
So what was the content of it? I would have loved to have played it, but there's no song. So just tell us the content
of the
song.
Of the woman abuse.
Yeah. What was the words that they sang?
So we sang the song was obviously written for gender-based
violence
and things, and it was more towards we started off the song, so I write the song, but then I tend to forget. So I would choose two or three tunes that I think that would speak to the concept. So the wording of that song, I use the word, the phrase, like, it's time to stand together, we must fight for their rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's time, stand as one. It's their right to feel safe. So in the song, we plead to people, stop the violence against women, stop the violence against children. This is our fight. We must unite.
I like it.
Violence must end in South Africa.
I mean, I do believe that Voice of the Capes, they played the song already.
Last weekend, Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love, I mean, well, we're hoping to play it again at some point very soon. But yes, so this for me is a question of social cohesion, you know, fight, looking at what's out there, speaking about it. So, and of course, so what went through your mind at the time, besides the fact that you say, you know, it could have been, but I mean, to teach this song to how many people? I mean, to how many
people? Choir of 70.
Choir of 70.
That's at D6, and then... at Primrose's we also about 85, so that's another. But that song will be done in Afrikaans again.
And how long did it take for you to teach them this?
2.5 months.
2.5 months. And how often do you come train?
Once or twice a week.
Okay.
So we use the medium of WhatsApp and social media. as a meeting, because I would be sitting out in Dubai. Last year, October, November, I was sitting out in Dubai and I was teaching them via Skype and via WhatsApp. And
oh, you listen, all well, technology,
you
know?
Everything works. Okay. And, you know, I have to bring Mr. Miller in here because Mr. Miller was, like he says, he's really, truly an ambassador of the culture. And he was one of the guys that gave me the opportunity a few years ago to actually, I was just a normal Pakman, like people would know. I would stand in the Sung Pak and I would just sing my bass voice like normal. Mm-hmm. But I got a love for writing music and being part of it. And I felt that everyone these days are just, well, back then people were just doing normal songs. They would do a song one moment in time, but they would just do it in a choral style. That is what English Combined was always about. It was a common song that people knew, and they would just put four voices in it. With all due respect to all those coaches that has passed on, they've done a brilliant job. Because I stood under them. Mm. And I stood under all these various coaches, and Mr. Miller was at with the minstrel with D6 Raw at that time, and he was one of the people that wanted me to get more involved, because people don't know Mr. Miller, like you said at the beginning of the show, he's an undercover agent. Okay. He don't necessarily put on his uniform every day even, but he would be the person that is working in the background. So to that, I would like to say on air, shukran to Kader for what he has contributed to allowing me the opportunity, as well as Shahid Simons and Malik Lahad to them. And also to the choir that has got me into it. So I'm passionate about Primrose. Therefore I went back. But this all started with people, legends that has passed on, like Boy Arham.
Okay, look, we know we don't have much time for that individual. I'm also now Mr. Ifanan, but you're not going to be able to, because we're a bit pressed for time. Kind of want to get to your role. I know that you've even taken the minstrels to an international level. I know of your involvement in Seychelles. And I know of the fact that you've also harnessed some of the biggest talents within the minstrels, and of course turned it into economic opportunities for those youngsters. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I've been with Group Entertainers for 10 years as a director, then moved on to D6 for 12 years as a director, and after that I thought it's time to retire. But start something new, something that I wanted to do. And I took some of the best musicians, some of the best singers, some of the best performers. I took them with me. There was an opportunity after you and I took our first group to the Seychelles. I must say, because you were the one who supported me with that decision that I brought to you, and we joined together and we took our first group of about 36 members to the Seychelles. And after that, like they always say, the rest was history. I've been to the Seychelles Carnival for 7 years in a row, taking the minstrel, the nuclear of the minstrels, some of the best performers, and I also made sure that I take kids that come from Manoa Park, I take kids that come from Mitchell's Plain, I take kids that come from Manenberg, so that they can go as minstrels for the first time ever and get a passport and go overseas. And when they come to another country, they represent South Africa as minstrels. That I have achieved, and that for me was the highlight for me of being a minstrel. That is the kind of passion that I have. Coming back with the Seven Steps Minstrels now today, we get called on from big companies. We get agents calling us because of the discipline we have, because of our professionalism. Corporate companies are now calling the Seven Steps Minstrels, and it is all because of word of mouth. It is because of what we do and how we conduct ourselves at events, that today we are the name, we are the brand name when it comes to corporate events. And we're only 10 guys. And there is opportunities and for minstrels, and obviously these guys, they get paid very, very well. When they do a job, they get paid well. I can say this. Just yesterday, we did a job, and the guys, they smile when I get a job for them, because the money that they earn I take that money and I give it to them because 80% of them are unemployed. And the avenue that I use is as a minstrel, they can earn a salary, they can put bread on the table, and I just love this idea of the Cape Town Seven Steps Minstrels. So, yes, from my point of view, being a minstrel, I am a minstrel. I cannot never get away from that. Tweede Nuwejaar is my cultural heritage. Tweede Nuwejaar is the day that I do my freedom of expression.
But I mean, other than that, I mean, of course, I know the story with Seychelles, and I mean, that's fine. But I mean, what struck me is one of the bigger things that your trips to Seychelles brought about is that you were actually one of the people that was directly responsible for creating a trade union in Seychelles. Because, I mean, maybe you must tell us a little bit about Mr. Alain Senanje, who was also a presidential candidate in Seychelles.
Mr. Hickey, I'm laughing because you know what you're talking about. And you were the guy who initiated this whole thing in the Seychelles. And inshallah, today, the gentleman, Mr. Alain, who has started his own political party.
It's now a political party.
Beyond trade union, it's now a political party. And inshallah, he might become the president if he wins the election. Mm-hmm. And you and I, and we have first-hand knowledge of this man. You were the man who stood on Victoria, and you presented this
Canela, man. And
you presented this man with the biggest speech ever that a minstrel could make in the city of Victoria. And that was a big day for us. And you represented us as South African minstrels. So although you're doing the interview there, yeah, you didn't know that I will catch you at this one.
Okay, yeah, but you know, I don't like being exposed like that, you know. But yes, I think well done to you, Kada, for taking this celebration of protest to an international level and being an ambassador for South Africa. So that's why I'm a bit disappointed that the national government is not more involved in the minstrels. If you look at what Mr. Hattas is doing, like writing songs, you know, that is promoting.
Wow.
That's promoting the social cohesion, speaking out against evils like gentrification, evils like gender-based violence, mm-hmm. that we don't have more of the national government's involvement in this particular thing. We're gonna go for a quick ad break. When we come back, I want you to respond to that.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. The Leadership Hour.
Again, we are back with the Leadership Hour. We've got Kada Miller here, and we've got Mr. Hattas here, Ziyad Hattas. And we are just looking at just the general issues pertaining to the minstrels. So, yeah, we were saying that, you know, people, the listeners all want to hear that song, but we're not going to have time to play that song because we only got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And it's almost Maghrib also. It means we will only a litchi were for Maghrib, we will a bitchi kira were for Maghrib.
People can make their way the 1st of March to the Velodrome, then they'll hear a different rendition with Primrose.
Yeah. Ziyad, I want you to talk to me about this group that you started, you mentioned earlier to me, okay?
Yeah, so we, because of the song and I felt passionate about it, I got involved with a bunch of people. We just registered the company today as an NPC. It's called a Violence Prevention Agency. The name was accepted. And it's a group of people that we want to do preventative work in society. So we want to go out to the communities, and it's not only in South Africa, it's up into Africa. And it's not only for gender-based violence, it's any form of violence. Studies have shown that So when I'm writing the songs, I actually look into studies, and that's what got me into it. And I felt that I now need to go back into communities and do the work. And you mentioned the term social cohesion early on,
mm-hmm.
and why minstrels bring about social cohesion. If we're practicing every Sunday in a certain community, we're bringing groups of people together from all over Cape Town. Even though D6 is in Boerkop, most of the people that's singing in that Sinpak, it's only about 12 people that's from Boerkop. Mr. Buller can let me
know.
But it's a lot of people from outside. And it's of those areas and all areas where gender-based violence is taking place. So if it's a means of social cohesion, our rehearsals, our practices, whatever we want to call it, but it's also giving that message. So if I'm teaching people two or three lines, they need to go make it farm, like we would call it. They would need to go make it farm for the week.
Make it long as they would.
But they...
Okay, in Islam school.
Yeah, no, it's Islam school. Or see for a lesser, cop less and alles.
Okay.
And they need to go make it farm. So when they come back next Sunday, they need to know it. But it means that they go away from that rehearsal with those three lines, with speaking to their mothers, speaking to their sisters, speaking to their children in a different way, because they need to sing with feeling. If you want to stand in my song park, and you need to sing with feeling, because you need to bring a message, obviously, across to your audience. We have, and people like Wasif Pikan, he wrote a comic now a few years ago about water. I mean, those are things that actually hit, and I think he won first prize right up. Those are things that actually... It's things that when people walk away from that stadium, they need to know that they went there not only to go listen to another choir sing another song that they know, they went there with a message. And if I can be part of that, and I'm only one person out of many that's trying to actually do this.
Mm.
I'm not a coach. I'm not a composer. I'm only trying.
Well, you're an activist, and I like the fact that you're an activist, and you obviously... you've got a great appreciation for what's happening out there, and of course, through your artistry, through your creativity, you're looking at our society through the lens, you know, to actually eradicate, you know, a lot of the evils.
How people love music, Mr. Higgins. Mm. How people love to listen to music. Mm. So if they can listen to a song that was wow, and if they can listen to that song over and over, and then see that your neighbors actually, things were happening right in front of my eyes. I'm a proudly Mitchell's Plain boy. When I grew up in Mitchell's Plain, if I listen to the song now and if I look at the words of that song, I realize that the people that was living opposite me was actually abusing the children.
Mm.
You don't realize that when it's happening, it's actually right in front of our eyes. And people are making cases. I mean, we have, the police stations are filled with cases that has been made, but no one goes forward to take that case further.
Mm. Okay, great. Kade, just on your side, you know, like I say, you're the great unsung hero of our communities. I mean, you can go anywhere and they'll know exactly who Kade Muller is because he does this, that, and the other. He empowers. But there was a recent success story. I mean, somebody that you brought on board, and I believe this person is now a pilot. He's going to be a pilot soon. I actually got this gentleman somewhere in town one day, and he says, "No mistakes, I'm doing my pilot's license." Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about this?
Mr. Higgins, don't forget that young man was with us on our first trip to China. So Mufti Sadli Basadin, I take him as a young brother, and I take him also as one of my best friends. For reason for that is we come from the same Hanover Park, and we call ourselves Hanovians.
Okay.
Like you call yourself Trafalgarians.
Okay.
We are Hanovians. And I'm very proud of him. He always had this passion to become a pilot. He has it. Now, he came to me one day and he said to me, "Miller, ek gaan nou study for my pilot license. Ek kyk die laaties so aan."
But just to preface that, he's also one of the most talented, the brass instrument players.
Trombone players, one of the best.
Yeah.
One of the best.
So yes, I mean, hats off to you. I mean, I've seen the development of this young man over the years.
Yes.
And I mean, one of these days he'll be donning a pilot's uniform.
And I said to him, sadly, if you want, I want to teach you just one more thing. You need to go to China with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, "I'm going."
Mm-hmm.
He was on the plane. We went to a few cities, and I showed him how to do business in China. I said, "If ever I'm not there one day, I've left you with something. You can go to China. You know my contacts. You know where to buy. You know what
to do. No China to go,
but you know, okay. You know, but now, I must say that sadly, he's done his first exam and he's passed it with 80%.
Alhamdulillah. Okay.
Very proud of him.
Unfortunately, gentlemen, Ziyad, Kada, shukran very much for gracing us with your presence. I would love to have both of you back on. Yeah, in fact, we are going coming back because Ziyad, I want you to come on with Shyam of Bukab. And Kada, I would like you to come on with Shadli at some point.
Inshallah.
And hopefully we can learn more about what people like yourselves do out there in the community, providing leadership and creating leaders. So shukran for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.